Well, good morning, everyone. My name is Dr. Sherry Tenpenny, and welcome to our weekly news program, This Week with Dr. T. And a great welcome to our Tenpenny Prime members. I'm sure by now you've heard us talk about Tenpenny Prime and our new membership. It's our new educational program that has new content every single month for the members only, a topical white paper, a recorded educational presentation, and then the last Wednesday of the month, we have a live event called Ask the Expert, and I will do my very best to bring some of the best and most informed people in the industries to come and speak to you and answer your questions. All podcasts are now available whenever you want to watch them. Our podcasts are posted daily, every day, on all the places that we live stream at 11 a.m. If you are already a member, please just go to drtenpenny.com, hover over the membership area, and you can log in the way that you always have as being a member. If you are new to us and you want to become a member, go to shoptenpenny.net. When you go to that site, right at the top, it says there's a bar that says membership. You can click on it, read about all the benefits, and I hope that you'll join us because that allows us to do all the many things that we do, including all the free content that we deliver for everybody every month. That's, again, go to shoptenpenny.net and the membership tab to join. We want to make 2025 the year of knowledge, empowerment, and action. So with that, before I introduce to you today's special guest, Ivory Hecker, independent journalist and a news analyst, we're going to take a really quick break. This will be really exciting information and news that you want to know. We'll be right back.
Zeolite is a detox spray. We work specifically with a company called Touchstone Essentials. They are an incredible company. We've been working with them now for several years. And zeolite is a mineral that goes through your body like a one-way basket. It will clean out heavy metals such as arsenic and mercury, aluminum, cadmium, and it hooks onto those metals from a one-way perspective. So once it's bound, it goes out through your urine or your stools and doesn't get redeposited in other places. Everybody needs to have a detox product in their life, and this one is so easy to use, and it's so safe. You can take it when you're pregnant. You can take it when you're nursing. You can give it to little children. You can even give it to infants, and quite frankly, I give it to my dog. I actually put a little bit of the zeolite in his water because until we all stop living in a toxic world, we all need to get some of those extra toxicities out, the heavy metals, the persistent organic pollutants, the things that are floating through the air, the different things that we come in touch with in our environment. And we are a big fan of zeolite from Touchstone Essentials. We've been a big, big, big fan of their products for several years.
Go to drtenpenny.com/detox to get your first bottle of zeolite spray for $50 off.
Well, welcome back, everyone. Ivory Hecker is an independent journalist and news analyst who has a broadcast journalism degree from Syracuse University. Ivory spent 9 years as a TV news reporter and an anchor. In 2021, she went viral for calling out her employer, Fox Corporation, live on the air, and after witnessing the suppression of truth and deception to the viewers about pharmaceuticals and about the COVID vaccine. She now dedicates her time shining light on issues of the media lies and about the lie and about the truth that it suppresses. Last year, she launched the first independent journalism course, teaching people how to cover the news successfully and outside of corporate controls. Ivory, welcome so back. So nice to see you again. I was on your show about a month ago. Thank you so much for joining us today at This Week with Dr. T.
Great to be with you.
So on your show, you said that there were a lot of responses, and you talked about that people were just kind of getting into this information. What kind of, I know that the interview went kind of super viral, but what kind of responses have you gotten back from that interview?
Yeah, it has over 1.5 million views on Instagram alone. And so a lot of people were grateful for you kind of making things so clear on the topic of childhood vaccines. And people talked about the timeliness of this expiration of childhood vaccines and the way, you know, the way that we approach the interview, you and I, like me as someone who has kind of dabbled into deep diving on childhood vaccines for the first time just the past few months. And, you know, being open-minded about them not starting the interview from a hard stance of it's got to be this way. And so that allowed people to share the interview that you and I did with people who are also open-mindedly questioning right now, is the vaccine the right way to go for my child? Because many people are wondering now, just since the pandemic, the way that the COVID vaccines were shoved in people's faces so much, and the dishonesty, the blatant dishonesty and partnership between the media and the government on that caused many people to doubt. They saw side effects, and they saw the media and the government gaslighting them about side effects. And so now they're questioning childhood vaccines too. There's been plenty of news articles out about childhood vaccine administration dipping immensely in the pandemic. You know, many people thought maybe it's just because people are trying not to go anywhere as much because there's a virus out there. But now further out of the pandemic, people are still not running into their pediatric office to get childhood vaccines. And so the government and the media are kind of like, what's going on here? Why aren't parents getting their children vaccinated? Well, then people like RFK Jr. come onto the scene. He runs for president and suddenly he has a primetime platform to talk about this issue that he's cared about for so long, childhood vaccines. And it's opening many people's eyes to say, maybe I should double check. Why have I just taken what my doctor said as gospel? And, you know, I never even asked my doctor to thoroughly explain what's in this childhood vaccine. I just trusted when the doctor said your child needs this, that they need this. Maybe I should actually double check and see what's going into my infant's body. More and more people are doing that. And so I think the way that we approached the interview last month, just from the ground up, bare basics, and me explaining, I just simply decided to Google. Like, let's just start my little rabbit hole journey with Google and see what happens from there. And I was astounded. I know Google is censored, so I assumed that Google would only put like really fancy, wonderful things about vaccines up front. And to find out that the FDA website pops up defending itself about why aluminum and formaldehyde are in vaccines. So Google and the FDA are not even hiding that we put aluminum and formaldehyde in vaccines. But it's a good thing, guys. Trust us, it's a good thing. So I was right off the bat, I was like, oh crap, I don't want to load my child up with aluminum and formaldehyde, especially when doctors are like, it's fine to take dozens of vaccines in one day. So that alarmed me right off the bat. And then when you look up the side effects of those poisons, it gets pretty alarming right away. And then you took it from there and had all kinds of crazy additional info.
Well, it's really true that I think that the COVID jab, so many people have been injured and so many people know people that have died, that it started to raise an eyebrow. And then during COVID, you know, they had babies and the babies didn't go to the pediatrician either because they were in lockdown or because they'd lost their job and so they didn't have health insurance and so they didn't go. And now the child's 2 years old and they're getting ready to have another child and they look at that child and they think, oh my gosh, he didn't die. In fact, he's extraordinarily healthy. He has never even so much as had a cold. You know, he doesn't have ear infections all the time. He's not crying. He's really social and happy. He's a really happy baby. Maybe I should do that with my next child. And, you know, because we have our N of one and we've proven to ourselves that my unvaccinated baby isn't going to die because they have no vaccines. And so I think that people are starting to question, rightfully so. I've been trying for 25 years just to get people to lift up their heads and ask the question, what's coming through that needle? And is it necessary to get 8 of those shots in one day? And what about all these 174 different ingredients that are in the vaccines? And so people are just now starting to question, and I'm so grateful. So thank you for the opportunity to be on your show and have that to go out to so many people to just plant the seed, ask the question.
Right.
The question, which is part of the reason why you left corporate media, was because people couldn't question and had to go lockstep with what the corporate media message was. Tell us about that a little bit.
Yeah, it was pharmaceuticals that first, the coverage of pharmaceuticals that first really showed me that I was in a controlled narrative in as a corporate news reporter in 2020. It started with COVID treatment in July into August of 2020 when Fox was sending me out to cover how patients were being treated. And they basically, were looking for the shock and awe story of like, oh, this hospital is packed. People aren't doing well. The end. But when the doctor I interviewed got into how he was treating the patients, like what he was administering, Fox panicked and said, absolutely not. I put out his entire list of a treatment protocol. I didn't realize, look, Fox assigned me this doctor. I didn't really care about medicine. I was a crime reporter. But Fox, sends me to this guy, and neither they nor I realized that he was doing something outside of the CARES Act protocol, the federal government's subsidized protocol, the government bribing the doctors, bribing hospitals to do a copy paste protocol of treatment for patients across the nation, which wasn't working very well. And he was doing something different. And when I put out his whole lineup of treatments, Fox threatened to fire me. And I was astounded because my entire career, 8 years up to that point, this is what I had done. No matter what story I was covering, I would just collect what was happening and report it. And that's what I did that day. This is what's happening in this hospital. Here it is. And suddenly I was threatened with firing. This was Dr. Joseph Verone at United Memorial Medical Center. And it was a lot of things he was doing different, things like vitamin C through IV drip. He had several things through IV drip, heavy doses of melatonin. He was using a different, like a better steroid, a better blood thinner, and he happened to be using hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin. And Fox got in a tizzy about that, and they took weeks to draft a letter to fire me, with the corporate headquarters in New York getting involved in Houston, where I was located. Anyway, I just realized that Fox had crossed a line that now truth is a minefield. And I don't know, because Fox had never given me some memo saying, don't cover these truths. They just randomly threatened to fire me. So now it was like, gosh, I don't know when I'm going to get the next threat to fire or get fired for covering truth. But just the fact that they would ever threaten to fire someone based on truth was a deal breaker for me. And then and there, in August of 2020, I said, I've got to leave this company. And I started to look around at different companies. CBS was interested in me. I realized they were all the same. If you looked at everything they were all doing, everyone was under the same lockstep government talking point narrative. And it turned out that when our nation was in this strange crisis that alarmed so many people, and people's freedoms were being taken away by the government, they needed the free press more than ever. This was when the free press was succumbing to the government and being the government's servant instead of the watchdog on the government. And I realized I had to get out. I had to get out of Fox. And because we must preserve the free press, and it's not illegal to be an independent journalist. And if we get out of corporate news, we can do independent journalism. We can keep covering what's really happening. And so I was strategizing how to get out of my contract. I was locked into it. Well, then we get into, there was a lot of strict narratives that happened to form. The election was really Fox and all the other outlets had a stranglehold on the election narrative, making sure that no doubt about the security of the election would leak out. Meanwhile, there were all kinds of anomalies. We were getting evidence of anomalies, and Fox didn't want to let people know about them. So that was the 2020 election. Then, December of 2020, the vaccines get re released, and I was sent to go cover the first shots in the arms of Texans. December 15th, 2020. And as the weeks rolled by, we started to get news tips about people dying or getting injured by the vaccines. And Fox said, we're not going to cover that. We don't want to cause people to doubt whether they should get the vaccines, because we need as many people to get the shots as possible. So yes, this 38-year-old man died the day after he got the shot. We're not going to cover it because it could have been something else. So just keep your lips zipped about that. Oh, we have video of multiple people fainting after getting the shot. You know, because you're supposed to get the shot and then wait for 15 minutes. Well, someone filmed multiple people having seizures in that waiting area. Wow. And Fox was like, we don't need to. That might alarm people. And so then I just looked, I discovered that the CDC actually had a little section at the bottom of one of its web pages, a really obscure location on the CDC website. Actually, it laid out in, I think it was March of 2021, that so far 3,000 people had died after the shots. Meanwhile, Fox was putting out PSAs in every outlet across the nation and all over their social media, all over their websites. Fox Corp, the owner, was blasting out these PSAs that the vaccines are safe and effective and will save lives. And I confronted my boss and said, I don't think that we should be saying something that's false and misleading. And we don't know if they're safe and effective yet. It seems every month there's a new update. Oh, it's this percentage less effective than we thought. The vaccine's now even less effective than we thought. Meanwhile, we're getting tips we're not reporting about people dying, so we don't know if they're safe. You didn't want to put out the video of the people having seizures. Why am I, you know, having to do a news report with a PSA? You know, before my report airs online, there's a PSA that rolls that says it is safe and effective and will save life. We're being dishonest. Well, my bosses didn't like that. They ignored me and said we've got to get more shots in the arms. They would hold meetings about what stories can we cover to encourage more people to get shots in the arms.
Wow.
Can we do a scare tactic about children dying to get more shots in children's arms? Things like this. And I was just like, we are an advertising arm of the government vaccine program now. Instead of, you know, journalism is about loyalty first to the people and the truth. And when you look at the comment section, it was clear what the people were asking. They wanted to know whether these new pharmaceuticals were safe. And we were blatantly turning a blind eye to our own audience in favor of the government and its talking points, because our federal government had already used our tax dollars to purchase all these pharmaceuticals, and it didn't want them to go to waste. And so that was just more confirmation going into spring of 2021 that I've got to get out of this company. And then finally I got connected with Project Veritas, and they encouraged me to call it all out live on air. Since I was trapped in a contract, why not just dare them to fire me so I can get out and tell more people about what the heck is going on with this controlled narrative? So that is my story of departing the corporate media and the role of the pharmaceuticals in that departure.
So did you do a segment for Project Veritas and that you called them out, and did they fire you from that, or did you leave?
I called out Fox live on air, and then it was like a week or two later, I received a letter on my doorstep that I was fired.
On your doorstep?
Yeah, it was like a hand-delivered letter. Wow. And they were, because Fox was scared to call me and tell me I was fired, because I was recording everything and handing it over to Project Veritas. Which the crazy thing is, when Fox first violated journalism in August of 2020, when they threatened to fire me and started to say, you know, you're in trouble if you let these truths out, I started recording them right then, and I told my bosses. I said, I am recording you because I don't feel safe anymore. You're threatening to fire me for doing what we all learn in journalism school to do: seek the truth and report it. So I don't feel safe. I feel like you're going to violate me and I'm recording you so that I have all the evidence. So hoping they would back off knowing I was recording, but they didn't back off. And so yeah, they fired me. And then Fox, Project Veritas interviewed me and did a whole report on why, you know, what Fox was up to. But I think they missed some of the key things. I don't think they touched on the pharmaceuticals a lot. It was kind of a dramatized report. It was a beautifully produced report that Project Veritas did, but I did a follow-up report really explaining kind of what I explained here about why I left. And, you know, the big discovery before I left, months later, I was like, I need to follow up with that doctor that Fox forbade me from interviewing again. After I interviewed him, Fox banned me from covering pharmaceutical treatment. That was part of their letter. Their letter to threatening to fire me also said, don't cover pharmaceutical treatment of COVID anymore. And so I was like, before I leave, I'm going to secretly interview him against Fox's will. And so then when I leave, I can put out a report on the full story, what Fox was trying to hide. And when I interviewed him and covered the data at his hospital, I realized that he was saving four times more lives, at least four times more lives, than the average death rate across America and around the world. I looked at various studies so far on how many people were dying once they were hospitalized of COVID. And the fact that he was saving that many more lives, just it made me cry as soon as I realized that. It was just sickening to realize that my company was trying that hard to hide life-saving info. You know, just the fact that they were hiding truth was enough for me to say I need to get out. But when I realized the truth that they were hiding was life-saving truth, then it felt like there was blood on the hands of the company, and it was just horrifying. Yeah, and then once I came out with the report, so I published a full 17-minute report. I didn't know where to put it because there was so much online censorship. So I uploaded it to BitChute. It got hundreds of thousands of views on BitChute. And people wrote to me saying that their lives had been saved. Or one lady said her husband's life was saved. He was on his deathbed with COVID. She hadn't heard of ivermectin yet. She learned about it in my report, got it prescribed for her husband, and he immediately rebounded and got back to health. So she felt like my report saved his life. And to think that Fox had every opportunity to cover ivermectin and they went on lockdown about it, how many more lives could have been saved? It's just astounding.
Yeah, it's the weaponization of the government against the people. I just think that the general public is just now starting to see it and starting to get an inkling of it because they shut down all the major news media. They shut down all the independent journalists. They shut down all the doctors like myself. They, you know, I was one of the disinformation dozen that got named. You know, they shut down everybody that was trying to warn people about this and tell them the truth, that the emergency youth authorization that allowed them to put this out with no clinical trials, with no long-term studies, two of those three rules written by the FDA were violated to even let the COVID shot on the market. One of them was there could not be anything else that could treat people. This was like nothing else, which we knew wasn't true with ivermectin, hydroxychloroquine, budesimide, monoclonal antibodies, which I'm not a fan of, but they did help. And more things. There was actually a study that came out I found early on that a bunch of pharmacists all over the world got their heads together, and they found something like 432 molecules that they were sure would have been effective against the SARS-CoV-2 virus. Many of them were already approved drugs that they felt like could be helpful. And that study was buried in a nanosecond. So it broke one of those rules. And the second rule was that this release of this experimental product under experimental use, emergency use authorization, experimental product had to be less deadly and less toxic than the condition they were trying to treat. And so then we find out, you know, the death rate from COVID is like 0.2%. And the death rate from these vaccines is in the millions. And it's still on the market. I mean, Heidi, that's got to just, or Ivory, that's just got to really be flabbergasting to you. The fact that all of this stuff was hidden, all this stuff was hidden by the media, and this product is still being advocated for pregnant women and babies and elderly and everybody in between.
Right. I just think the media's got to get back to the people. It's got to detach from its special interests. The media is so broken. Just be honest with people about the news tips you're getting, you know, the true stories of people being harmed. Stop acting like this pharmaceutical product is perfect. You know, it seems like most people are fine after the shot. A lot of people have gotten it, and not all those people died, right? But don't cover up the ones who have. A lot of people have died or been marred by these shots. Be curious. Be curious about all the tips you're getting about weakened immune systems. Vaccines are supposed to boost your immune system. Why are we getting our inbox full of people whose immune systems are obliterated? Now they're getting these autoimmune diseases. They're getting all kinds of weird illnesses that are popping up that their body can't fight against after the shot. Look into that. Be curious. That's a top requirement for free press journalists, is curiosity. Media's got to get back to basics. If they don't, they'll completely die out. They are dying out. They're committing mass layoffs every year. They continue to shrink. The people that they don't lay off, they get paid less because the viewership's not there anymore. The lies are getting too blatant at this point.
That's great. Well, and then because you've what you saw and that you had a passion for real journalism, you started a course and an online course. And we're going to take a really quick break. And when we come back, we're going to talk more with we're going to talk some more with Ivory Hecker about the journalism school that she started in her online courses, and where you can find them, and where a lot of us are already podcasters, but we can always be better. And so to learn something from a real journalist that did real journalism things is just over the moon. So we're going to take a really quick break. So you come right back, and all of you people really need to hear this, because you may just be a journalist for your local school board. This is how to be better. We're going to learn more in just a minute. We'll be right back.
We also have an apparel line on our store that has just the best things. In fact, I go and shop at my own store. I mean, I really do go and buy stuff out of my own store. They have t-shirts and sweatshirts and cups and mugs and totes. We've got a great designer. We're always adding new things all the time. And either one of those two product lines, either our private label supplements, our Opti line, the white bottles with the green leaves on it, or with the apparel store, and they're two separate stores. They do not have a single shopping cart. It's like you go in one store and get your groceries, and you go to the other store and get your shoes. Well, these are two separate stores, but you can use the same affiliate code. If you use the code podcast, when you go to the checkout, you can get 10% off on everything you buy every time you go to the store.
Okay, we're back, everybody. Thank you, everybody, for coming back. We've been talking today with independent journalist Ivory Hecker. I don't know why I keep stumbling over your name. I'm so apologize for that. And it's been that you have built an online platform for building stories that matter. And tell us, how do you decide what story matters as you become a journalist? And is that part of what you teach in your course?
It is part of what I teach in my course. So you've got to get aligned back with the audience. You've got to see, what do people care about? There's a lot of ways to see which stories matter. First, I mean, if you hear about something that's happening, how many people is this story impacting? Does it impact people's freedoms? And if it's impacting a lot of people in their basic freedoms, then that's going to be a newsworthy story regardless. But another way you can tell what matters is to see what's going viral. Sometimes just a random person's independent video will go viral, and that tells you regular people are sharing this like crazy because this is a topic that they care about. And maybe you're not seeing it on the corporate media yet, but if the corporate media doesn't pick it up, you better, because whoever's going to pick up a story that's going viral online, you're serving the public. The public shows you. It's easier than ever to see what people care about, what really matters to the general public, because you can see it all over social media. The things that are going viral are more likely to be the things that people want to know more about. If this first basic video is going viral, do a deeper dive on it. People want to know more. That's why it's going viral. You can also check the comment section, and of any outlet, you can check the comment section. It was crazy when I was working at Fox 26 Houston, and you would, in the pandemic, you would check the comment section of any Fox post on social media, and it would just be scathing. The audience hated my outlet because it was blatantly ignoring every question they had, serving the government and their own special interests, and gaslighting the public, and the public knew it. And so they would be in the comment section saying, how dare you leave this aspect out that we had to find out independently? You know, we found this out through an independent source who's now big because they're filling the blanks you're leaving out, Fox. And they'd be in the comment section with that. How about you do this? How about you answer this question that we're all asking that you're ignoring? So you can go to a media outlet's comment section and find out what are the questions people are asking in the comment section? What are they angry that the corporate media is ignoring? And eventually, as you build up your following as an independent media voice, you'll get news tips in your own inbox, in your DMs, in your email, of people saying, this big thing is happening, or I have this personal story of this thing that impacted me. And again, you just look at how many people does the story affect? Does it affect their basic freedoms? Or is it just a sensational story? Which you can cover sensationalism as well. You can cover whatever you want as an independent media person, but you're serving the public the most when you protect their freedoms by shining light on anything that's impacting their freedoms. You know, sometimes people email me about, you know, they're filing a lawsuit because like they had this surgery and it went wrong, and so this surgeon, you know, harmed them. And it's like, there's probably stories that I should cover instead of that one, because that's one surgeon who messed up. I mean, what a tragic story that happened to you, but it's not, you know, that's, if I cover your story, it'll be a sob story for the public to feel bad about, but it's one person impacted by one surgeon, rather than if it's government involvement, government harms someone, that's more newsworthy because the government is the representative of all the people. So always shed light on that.
And maybe you can shed light on this, that I think that there's a widespread belief out in amongst the public that CNN and MSNBC are far left, and if you're a conservative, they're kind of the bad guy, and that Fox is the conservative station and tends to get things out more from the conservative perspective. But now you're saying that they were equally as complicit at hiding stories as what CNN and MSNBC was. Do you think that's still true, or is that sort of a blind understanding of corporate media?
I think it's probably still true in some aspects. They really ramped up their control of the narrative in 2020 and suffered deep ratings repercussions for it. And so now people are so forgetful. They hear my story now in 2025 and they're like, what are you talking about? Fox, you know, sheds light on all these things that MSNBC doesn't. So Fox is the good guy, right? And it's like, you know, in 2020, they all went into lockstep together, and they had their lip zipped about any side effects from vaccines, for instance. And so Fox was government funded to promote the vaccines as well. And from Fox News Channel having some of its top talent do advertisements for the COVID jab, all the way down to the Murdoch-owned local stations like the Houston one that I was at. But their ratings absolutely tanked after that. It was devastating by the end of 2020, going into 2021. Newsmax, who was still really new at the time, was suddenly beating Fox in the ratings and some key shows, and that was very alarming. Very alarming for the ownership of Fox News. OAN as well, being more obscure up to that point, it was an opportunity for OAN to just jump in popularity, and so they overtook a bunch of Fox's audience, and Fox realized it had to stop committing suicide and reverse its narratives. And so it started to go back to old conservative narratives. This is a game for the ownership of Fox. The ownership of Fox doesn't care about the truth. It's a game for money for them. And it still is today. It's the same people at the top, and it's all a game for them. Fox in 2021 started to be the top sponsor of all these conservative events like CPAC and Turning Point. There were big Fox logos all over. I was invited to speak at those events, and it was so awkward because I was speaking out about Fox while they were sponsoring the event, and it really got a little sticky there. I ended up getting abruptly banned from the Turning Point event in the summer of 2021 after I had called out Fox at the CPAC event. Because Turning Point realized I was going to do that. Yes, that's what I was invited to speak about. You guys didn't check all your things. So Fox was paying them. So they said, okay, we're going to cancel everything. We can't let the truth about Fox come out. And it was shocking and appalling and disheartening because I had always admired Charlie Kirk, and to realize that his organization would cancel someone who's telling the truth about something that Fox was truly up to. And I had all the receipts on it. And, you know, for conservative outlets to do that. Anyway, it worked. Fox shifted its narrative. It started to allow conservative stories to be told again, you know, because they had become quite anti-Trump at that time. And it wasn't good for their ratings because the audience loved Trump. So they're like, okay, fine, we can talk about Trump's talking points again. And, but if you fast forward to 2025, I think, and 2024, we look at 2024, I think some of the things that Fox might not just be curious enough about is, for instance, the Israeli war. If you look at what's going on between Israel and Hamas and, just putting the American people and their questions and concerns first, above your special interests overseas. I think that all of the outlets need to get back to the American people and their questions and saying, you know, are we looking at, are you okay? You know, are the American people okay with where their tax dollars are going? Do they know where their tax dollars are going? In many cases, funding both sides of wars. A lot of Americans care about that, ask questions about that. And a lot of the corporate media on left and right wants to cover that stuff up. So that's just one topic area that is an example of the fact that in certain issues where there are big special interests, it doesn't matter left or right, the outlets will zip their lips about the truth, turn a blind eye to the audience, ignore their questions in favor of the narrative and their special interests.
Wow. And that brings us to the point of how important independent journalism is and independent and independent reporting is. So tell us a little bit more specifics about your course. How many parts is it? How do people join it? How many hours are people having to commit to something like that? So people are saying, yes, you're right. Independent journalism is the way to go. How do we get trained to do this?
It is a 12-week course. It's a self-study online for 12 weeks with very in-depth with writing and videos from me. And then I also meet with the students via video to make sure, you know, Zoom like we're doing now, to make sure that they're grasping the concepts and we can troubleshoot what's working, what's not working for them. So I would say definitely be able to devote several hours a week to this. It's not, it's something that you can study in your own time. You can take the course slower if you need to, but I think I designed the course so you can still have your full-time job and be learning independent journalism. And then I teach you how to start doing independent journalism while having your full-time job, while building up your independent work and your independent audience to the point where you can monetize it, and then eventually go full-time as an independent journalist. I've had multiple people that I gave tips to who they started out working and doing this on the side, and they were eventually able to break away, do independent journalism, and now they're making more money independently than they made at their old corporate jobs. So it's pretty doable to be an independent journalist right now. People are craving it. I think there's no shortage of independent journalists. We need more of these people filling in the blanks that the media is leaving out. Media is constantly purposely leaving holes in the stories, and we need more independent voices to go in, cover it, shine light. The audience will reward you for doing so. They will follow you, share you. The reason that your and my interview last month went so viral was because that was a gaping hole the corporate media had left. Corporate media will not discuss childhood vaccines with transparency. You and I were willing to do that, and that's why it got 1.5 million views on Instagram. So if independent journalists will simply go fill in the blanks and be willing to shed light where the corporate media refuses to, the audience will find you, they'll gravitate to you, they will share you, you will grow, and you'll have your own independent media platform. You know, in the 20th century, journalists had to work for media corporations in order to reach the audience. With social media in this new era, 21st century, you don't need to work for a news corporation to be a journalist. The audience is right at your fingertips on social media. And I teach you in my course how to reach the audience, how to cover the stories that matter, and then actually present the story to the audience in a way that they realize that this is a story they care about. And then eventually monetize. We teach legal and ethical things to make sure you're not getting into trouble legally and ethically. And so it's a pretty full encompassing course. And I've just felt really drawn to, once I realized how successful you can be independently, it's been on my heart for the past few years to do this, to create the course. So I spent much of 2024 developing this course, and the end of 2024 releasing the course, so that I can be in the corner of these up and coming journalists to help promote them and grow them. And so that is my course. Freepresscourse.com is the course.
Okay. So say that again, because that's really important. That's the most important thing about your course there so far.
Yeah. So anyone interested in doing my course, go to freepresscourse.com.
And you said it's a 12-week course. So is it a rolling course, or do you do like segments, and that people?
Yeah, I do. I'm doing like semesters. So last fall was my first semester of students, and I graduated them. And then I started a new semester of students in January. So it's on a wait list right now. And I actually did just open it up for one-on-one coaching. I have a couple of one-on-one coaching clients right now. So if people want to, obviously it costs more to do one-on-one coaching, but if you want to work one-on-one with me to make sure you're successful independently, just email me or message me. And otherwise you can get on the wait list for freepresscourse.com when we launch the next semester of students.
Do you have a maximum?
A maximum, how many students can sign up? Not so far. No, I'm taking, you know, I'll make sure that it's a small group of students that you're in. So even if that means multiple small groups of students, because I don't want people to get like lost in the mix. I want to make sure that I have a personal connection with the students and their personal stories that they're working on to make sure it's successful. But so far it hasn't reached a point where I have to create a maximum, but wouldn't that be a great thing?
Yeah, that would be a really good thing. And maybe it would at some point you would do like a rolling course, you know? So like the first of the month of each month it rolls students and you know, you've got like three courses kind of going on at the same time. That might be a lot for you, but maybe you get to the point where you train people and people do that for you. That'd be the
yeah,
next.
That's true. You know, hopefully we can build it up to that. I'm taking it slow right now because I want to make sure that I'm actually being of service
yeah.
to all my students.
Then you could train other people to do the regular classwork and you could still pop in once a week to, you know, I'm just thinking about growing what you do because what you do is so important. And you're so right about independent journalism is being an independent journalist is an actual profession. Like being a journalist is a profession. It's not just a hack person who happens to sit in their basement with a microphone. I mean, there's story content, there's ways to write it, there's a way to structure it. And I think it's really important for people that are listening to this, either if you've started a podcast or you have a podcast or you are writing for, you know, independent outlets, if you've want to get better. I mean, you can always get better. You can always take courses and get better. I mean, I always use the example, you know, Tiger Woods had a golf coach, you know, and Michael Jordan had a basketball coach, even though he was the best basketball player ever. So you can always have coaches, and no matter how good you are at your trade, you can always learn to improve and get better. So this course sounds really inspiring as a way for people to get better at what they do. Yeah.
Absolutely. I just really felt it was so needed. When I realized, you know, when I went independent, because I didn't realize from the inside of corporate media that it was even possible to do independent journalism. When I realized how well I was doing independently, it just dawned on me, we don't need the corporate media anymore. I'm more directly connected with the audience and their concerns and being able to answer their questions than I ever was in corporate media. So it's better this way. It's more effective this way. And you make more money this way. I was like, I need to let more people know and then I need to show them how. So I'm at a point right now where I'm more passionate about this than about covering the story. So I covered independent stories for a few years. I really filled in some blanks, did some things I was really proud of. And now in 2025, I feel more led to educate students than to cover the stories. And it was interesting when the Trump administration opened up the White House press room to independent media. A bunch of people reached out to me and said, we want to see you in there, Ivory. And nothing in me wanted to go to DC and do that. I wanted to teach students to go to DC and do that, which is very strange for me. My old self would have jumped at that, but I'm at a point right now where I'm very passionate about teaching the students rather than being there myself. If for some reason I was brought there, you know, I would gladly cover it. But my heart is with this course right now.
You know, that is kind of amazing. I mean, I didn't even know. I mean, when Pete Hegseth went into the DOD, you know, and he kicked out the people from New York Times and I think MSNBC, and he brought in OAN and Newsmax. I mean, I didn't even know that that organizations like the New York Times had offices inside of the Pentagon. It's like, holy cow, like really? And so, but yeah, they kicked them all out. They got rid of all of them. So like every day, it doesn't matter which department of government that you're reading about, whether it's FBI, whether it's Homeland Security, whether it's a Border Patrol, whether it's, you know, something to do with Doge and another incredible fraudulent waste that they've turned over another cow pie and it stinks to high heavens. You know, it's like every day, you know, it's like something major is happening. And the people that don't like change and people that really like the status quo, of course, are going, well, wait a minute. Well, I think that the train has left the track and they have left the not train has left the station and it's barreling down the track. and there isn't much that can be done to stop it. And independent journalists are going to be able to take the lead on that and find those really cool stories and write a story about, what do you mean the New York Times had an office inside of the Pentagon? I mean, to me, that just blows my mind, even just to think of the concept of that. And to know that there at least wasn't a balance to that, you know, a balance to the New York Times position, you know, by having like somebody like Newsmax or OAN, you know, that writes something different. But independent journalists can elbow their way into that and really make a difference in this country. So congratulations on your course. And thank you so much for what you're doing. I think it's just wonderful.
Thank you so much for having me on. It's been great talking with you.
And tell them again where they can find you. And do you have an independent, you know, you said that you have Instagram and that. Tell little people about where your social media is. And do you have a website? And tell them again where they can get your course.
My primary website right now is just the course, freepresscourse.com, which is the wait. It's on a wait list right now. And then once you sign up, you get full access into the course. But freepresscourse.com. And then you can, if you just search my name on most social media, it'll come up, Ivory Hecker. But yeah, Ivory Hecker on YouTube, Ivory Hecker on Rumble. Instagram is real.ivory. And then I created a separate news page, ivory.news, if you just want the news. And so yeah, just search my name and you'll see it. You'll see it all over.
You'll find you all over the place. Great. Well, Ivory, it's been so great to talk to you again here today. And as I close out with, I want to give a special thank to everyone who's joining us, everybody who's watched us here, and a special, special thank you to our Tenpenny Prime members. If you're not a member yet, you can go to shoptenpenny.net under the membership tab and sign up. So with that, I want to close out with one of my favorite verses from the Bible. I close all my podcasts with, whether that is live or pre-recorded, which is Romans 12:12. Rejoice in hope, be patient in trouble, and be persistent in prayer. So until the next time, lean into God. He'll never let you down. Everybody, thank you again, Ivory, so much for being here. And to everyone else, goodbye and God bless.
In a time when truth is censored, one name stands out. Dr. Sherry Tenpenny, the relentless seeker of knowledge and defender of freedom. Explore groundbreaking findings at drtenpenny.com. Ignite your mind with riveting podcasts, explosive articles, research-driven substacks, webinars, ebooks, and more. In an era plagued by environmental toxins and vaccine-related exposures, Dr. Tenpenny has expertly crafted a selection of safe detox protocols that facilitate profound healing at a cellular level. It's time to cleanse, rejuvenate, and restore your body vitality. With heart damage on the rise, Dr. Tenpenny introduces nationwide ECP therapy to repair hearts and achieve optimal health. Seize the opportunity and embrace the wealth of resources, information, and health recommendations awaiting you at drtenpenny.com and become a Tenpenny podcast member to join our mission in the quest for uncensored truth, the health of our nation, and medical freedom.